Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 16. And then we're going to look at this chapter of Romans from verse 16 to the end. And look at what it teaches us about God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone in this room today. And I pray that you would suit a spiritual blessing to each one. I pray you'd take your word and touch our hearts and our lives and change us. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That is a tremendous popular verse. Used many times and preached on all the way throughout the years and led a lot of people to the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. But as I was studying this chapter this week, I really began to see what Paul was telling us about God. First of all, he's talking about the power of God. It's the power of God. Of course, he's talking about unto salvation, but then he describes creation. So the power of God in creation and the power of God in salvation are both here taught in this chapter. And then we have the wrath of God in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed against something. And then going on down to verse 23, we're talking about the glory of God. And then when you look at the very last verse, you have the judgment of God. You know, as I thought through this, I thought about how much what you believe about God determines how you live. You know, God is a powerful God. The ability to create the world and to bring life, that's powerful. To make everything to where it works just so. If we were just a little closer to the sun, we'd burn up. A little further away, we'd freeze to death. Our atmosphere, our food, life itself is a gift from God. Amen. And there's no life that doesn't come from life. From God, first of all. And then from life reproducing itself. And the way God set everything up, from plants and flowers to animals to human beings, male and female, to reproduce and to bring pleasure and to draw us to each other. I thought about the power of God. Now, last month I taught on Psalm 19. And David was saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. It says, day unto day utter a speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no language in the world where that message has not gone. Well, Paul's talking about it here. Notice in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That's men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The tremendous power of God greets us every day. Now that is a testimony. That ought to put fear in our hearts. Somebody so big, somebody so wise, so smart, and you're going to deal with him, have to deal with him? Well, that ought to put fear in your heart. What we know about God will determine the way we live. What we believe about God will determine the decisions that we make. Now here, Paul again is showing the same thing that David showed. And in fact, the very first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. God made it. Now with such power as that, such wisdom as that, what is the smartest thing we know? It's the human brain. In this life, a friend of mine just recently was told about Alzheimer's. And the doctor that talked to him said, look, we don't know a lot about it. And though we're learning something every day, your grandchildren and their grandchildren, there's still going to be an awful lot about the human brain we don't know. It's an amazing thing. It is really an amazing thing if you think about it. And it's come to the point that some people, even in our day and throughout history past, in time of Romans here, it's 2,000 years ago, there were men that worshiped men. Worshiped the human brain. The smartest thing they found was man. Well, somebody created man. And I think it took someone smarter than man to do it. We go to our specialist doctors. I've got 6 doctors and every one of them is a specialist. I believe I have too many doctors and too much medicine. But that's because I'm an old man. And I obey them. They tell me to go do this and go do that or go see this other fellow. Okay, I go see him. Do you know what? They don't all agree. They don't all agree. They don't agree on which drugs you should take or what operation you should have or even the food you eat. I think in the time my children went to school, and there's a 17-year gap between Eddie and Susanna, I think they changed the food recommendations 3 times. There was a time when they told us beans and rice and stuff like that wasn't any good for you. And they turn around and come back and go, well, everybody needs beans for their heart and all this stuff. And what beans and rice are what the world lives on. You know what poor people live on around the world? Beans and rice. We don't understand everything. Everything's too big. My idea, when I think about it, how many pictures, voices, messages are going through this room right now? We don't hear it because they don't have a recorder, but you guys turn on your phone, turn on your computer, turn on your whatever. Yes. What else does God have out there that you haven't figured out yet? There's no telling. There's no telling. I think one of the greatest inventions that's ever been is this little smartphone. I have a friend that just been into computers big time, and he told me, he said, now that I got my smartphone, I don't even hardly use my computer. All the computing's done on his little smartphone. Wow. And kids can walk around with them, and they can do things with them I can't do because I can't do any of it. I've been bypassed. The power of God. The power of God in creation. What a mighty God we have. We talk about all the bombs we can make. Well, I'll tell you what, Sandy would about equal any bomb we could put out. God's got an awful lot of power. And power enough to create a world, speak a world into existence, make it run orderly, make it run according to laws. And a lot of people talk about the laws of nature. I'm sorry, it's the laws of God. Talk about the laws of physics. No, God is what makes things consist and hold together. That's the law of God also. God is a great big God. So much bigger than us, we ought to stand in awe. And we ought to approach Him in fear. Because He is a great and a mighty God. He has shown His power in the things that He has made. Now here's a building. You don't think this just happened. I'll guarantee you there's a lot of sweat and labor and planning and raising of money and people getting hurt to get this building made. But you look at it and you can say, there's a builder. Somebody built this building. You drive a nice car. Well, it didn't come by accident either. Well, the same way this world could not come about by accident, it didn't come by accident. Nothing works like that. And in the history is the written record of mankind. Prehistoric is before written history. In history, we've never seen life come from anything but life. And in history, we've never seen anything reproduced but after its own kind. Now, there's modification of dogs. You know, they used to be just dogs. Well, now we've got all these specialized breeds that we've bred to get certain characteristics. But man, the first dog was created. And dogs reproduced. And with the tremendous power of the genes within our body, there's no telling what could happen to the children and grandchildren on down the line as we look at what the opportunities are even in one human body. God's great. Amen. Great, big, powerful God. An intelligence way beyond ours. Notice in verse 18, it says the wrath of God. What makes God mad? Well, most everybody's heard of sin. That makes God mad. God gets upset with some things, the mistreatment of different people, mistreatment of laws. But look at what it says, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They saw God, they saw what God made, they have this manifest picture of the power of God every day. One of the verses in the Bible declares the faithfulness of God in that the earth is still here. And these laws of nature and laws of physics are still here. And the sun's going to rise in the morning and the moon's going to come up. And you're going to breathe air, and you're going to live. And it's just been doing this year after year after year after year all my life. All I can read back in history, been doing the same thing. That's faithful. But God gets upset when you don't give Him credit for what He's done. To look at creation and say it's an accident. Look at creation and say it's a whatever. But don't give God creation. You don't see His wisdom. You don't see the intelligence. You don't see the power. God is a very awesome being. You know, all powerful. Omnipotent. Ever present. He's always there. I'm getting old. I feel it. Somebody said, oh, you're not old. Oh, yeah, I'm old. And you're going to get there one of these days. Your day's coming, if you're lucky. I had some of my friends that were lucky. They never got old. One of my buddies died building the Colosseum at 18. Fell from the roof. Another one was riding a motorcycle back from Navy down in Corpus and wiped him out at about 21. Listen to me. God Almighty has created this world and you ought to recognize Him. God's not going to get old. His hearing is not bad today. He is not any weaker than He was before. He is ever present. He's with you every day and every night. You can't hide from Him. You may think you can, but you're very foolish to think so. He is present everywhere, and the Bible states it that so. Personally, I believe it to be so. And God gets angry when we don't give Him credit and aren't thankful for what He's given us. Amen. If you're alive and sitting in a chair here this morning, Amen. God's kept you alive for a pretty good ways. Amen. You had a lot of happiness and joy and things come in your life, and you've had some challenges come your way too. Well, you know, God wants you to be thankful. I think Brother Brown was talking about how critical we are. And Americans are very critical because we have so much control. We do elect a president. You know what I'm thankful about? Nobody burned any cars when Mr. Obama was declared president. Nobody went out and trashed the neighborhood because Mr. Romney lost. I'm thankful for the way our government changes like that and that we have the freedom and things that we have. For me, I think I'm one of the luckiest persons that ever lived. I was born in the Bible Belt of Texas, Bible Belt of the South in the United States, maybe the Bible Belt of the world. Wow. I had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I had an opportunity. My parents believed in God. I'm thankful for that. Now, he says the wrath of God is revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because it's clearly seen there's a Godhead. And because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. To know God and not be thankful, to know God and not recognize His power, will bring the wrath of God upon you. Now notice what else he says here. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I've met some of these fools. I've talked to them. They profess themselves to be wise. I've been a preacher 55 years. I was a high school teacher in the inner city for 20 years. I've seen some smart people. And I've seen some dumb people, some slow people. I've seen some really wise people. And I've seen some fools. I've seen some kids just put themselves in a position. How could you think to get yourself where you are? You profess to be wise. How wise are you really? I had a little girl in one of my classes. She was a pretty little girl. 16 maybe. Just made A's all the time. She had a pretty high IQ. And I was just teasing her one day and I said, doesn't it get boring to just get A's all the time? She said, oh, I got an A minus once. My wife's about like that. She's got a 4.0 on everything she's done. Pretty smart girl. But you know, I don't care how smart you are, Will Rogers had a pretty good saying. He said, everyone is ignorant, just depends on the subject. I don't care how smart you are in history, or in mechanics, or in a computer. All of a sudden we bring up some other something, you don't know anything about it. There's too much to learn. How smart can you be? How smart is God? And what sort of a comparison do you have with Him? To me, it doesn't make any sense. He has to be a whole lot smarter than anyone I ever met. And you know one of the problems with some of the smartest people that I've met, they're recognized geniuses, they're smart, they don't know how to get in out of the rain. They don't know what a dipstick is. They have no idea how to check the oil on a car. They wouldn't know how to put a roof on if their life depended on it. Yes, they're smart, but where are we smart? We're smart in little bitty areas. I've got a lot of education. You know what you do? You start out in high school and you study everything. You get a little bit of everything. First 2 years of college, about the same way. First couple of years, you just study everything. These requirements that you got to have, English and history and math, even though you've studied them for 12 years already. You got to take that. Then when you get to be a junior, maybe, you start on your specialty. Okay, you want to study history, or you want to go English. Maybe you want to go engineering. Maybe you want to go accounting, whatever. Well, you concentrate on those things. And you learn more and more, let's say, about accounting. And then when you get to a master's degree, you take a portion of accounting and you work on that. And so you know a whole lot about this one portion. It's just a very small part of accounting. And then you go for a PhD. It's piled higher and deeper. You go for your PhD and you learn everything about one little thing. So that you're an expert at this one little spot. Maybe if a history teacher, you pick one general of the Civil War, and you know everything about him, and you write a book about him, and boy, you're an expert, but you don't know any of the others. You learn more and more about less and less until you know everything about nothing. How smart are you? Compared to God, you're not very smart. And in fact, compared to some people, you're not very smart. People are smart in one area and dumb in another. They're informed and educated in one area, and they're completely ignorant in everything else. You think you're smart enough that you're going to judge God? You think you're smart enough that you can beat God? Do you actually think that you can ignore God and it never come around for you? That makes God mad. The wrath of God is revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who do not recognize truth and do not humble themselves before an almighty God. You're courting the wrath of God. I want you to notice that professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. I know most of us in this room probably think we're pretty smart in certain areas. And we probably are. But you know, we ought to be real careful about pushing our own buttons and blowing our own horns and thinking that we're so smart. Boy, there's an awful lot we don't know. I've told the story many times, but I was the first in my family to get through college, bachelor's degree. And right after I got my diploma and my degree and was looking for a job, my father-in-law, who went to the seventh grade, flunked it three times, not because he was not intelligent, because he was pulled out to reap harvest every year. Early from school and late, he couldn't ever finish it. He said, "So you've got a college degree?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you're supposed to be smart." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What's a trace chain?" You ever pulled a wagon? I haven't. I never hitched up horses to a wagon in my life. I was born on a farm. But he knew what a trace chain was. He didn't finish the seventh grade. But he knew what a trace chain was. I had to get him to explain it to me. I'm the college graduate. I got 12 years of school, and I got 4 more years of college, and I've got a bachelor's degree. But he had to explain to me what a trace chain was. It's sort of humbling to look at intelligence and realize how little of it you have. The smartest of us are pea brains when it comes to God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I've seen some kids who thought they were so smart, and they just made fools of themselves because they thought they were so smart. And I've seen some adults do exactly the same thing. Professing themselves to be wise. Well, God doesn't like that. He does not like the truth to be messed with. One of the things I want to do is I want to preach truth. I believe the Bible to be true. And I take it as my authority over anything and everything else that I come across. I believe in God. I believe He's all powerful. I believe He created the world. I believe that anybody that becomes vain in their own imagination and professes themselves to be wise and denies God is a fool. Now the Bible says here, verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now that's glory. We talked about power of God in creation. We talk about the wrath of God against those that distort the truth and are not thankful. But there's a glory of God. God has a glory. I am awestruck. I have these pictures that came from the Hubble telescope. They blow my mind. How big that universe is out there. How far those hundreds of millions of, not stars, galaxies are out there. The beauty that's there. And so far, we haven't found any other place that has an atmosphere like Earth where any human beings could live without importing what we have here, creating it somewhere. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. I lived in Mexico and Guatemala as a missionary. I've passed many a little altar in the mountains and the hills when I was hiking, going up a volcano or whatever. They would have chicken blood and maybe a claw there or a beak, head. I understand there's some places that they worship snakes, cobras. Cobras their god. I understand that India could relieve their food problem if they'd just eat their cows. Yeah, really? They let the cows do anything they want to do and just run around everywhere and people starving. Can you imagine a group of people that saw the 10 plagues of Egypt, and Egypt brought to her knees, saw walking across the Red Sea on dry land, and then the waters coming back to wipe out the Egyptian army, ate manna for years, drank water from a rock, and Moses is gone for 40 days, and in 40 days they create a new god. And what is it? A cow. A calf. Can you imagine worshiping a cow? Now, I've owned a lot of cows. They're very curious. They can be very friendly. You know what they're made for? To eat. You know what I like? I like steak and potatoes. You want my favorite meal? You can feed me steak and potatoes anytime you want to. Sometimes I'll take a salad. Sometimes I'll take something else. I might have a little dessert, but man, steak and potatoes. I raised cows. I butchered my own cows. I butchered my own deer. You're going to have your God as a cow? You profess yourself to be wise? They even got Aaron in on the thing, and they create this dumb cow. And they are dumb cows. They're not known for their intelligence. Dogs are known for their intelligence and what they can do. They tell me dolphins are known for their intelligence and what they can do. Cows? No. And God said, you changed, professing yourselves to be wise, you became fools. You changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. A God that will never age, never grow old, never be weak, never lose anything, and knows everything in His ever place. All powerful, almighty, and ever present. And you decide, okay, I'm going to make me a God because I don't want you. I don't want that God that I see there, and I'm going to make myself a cow. How about a creeping thing? How about a bird? I've seen some pretty birds, but I don't think they're too intelligent either. But look at what it says. Made like the corruptible man. You're going to trust man? You're going to make your God the human brain? Anybody's human brain. The smartest human brain on the face of the earth. You're going to make him God? Wow. What a letdown. God is insulted. God is insulted that you could look out here and not recognize the truth. Not see how great God is. The glory of the uncorruptible God. You know what it says about that? Look at verse 24. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, the desire of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Verse 26, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now what that tells you, my friend, is lesbianism and homosexuality and whatever is sin. It's not natural. What is sex? Well, sex is in everything. Sex is in corn, in pecan trees and apples, in birds and animals and humans. And what does sex do? Oh, it brings a great deal of pleasure, and they're driven. Also, it reproduces life. And that's his purpose. I was talking to a man. I had a pretty big steer. We were talking about the fences, you know. Had a little bit of an older fence. And I said, well, what do you think I should do? You think I should just leave it as it is, or should I stretch me new wire all the way down that fence? He said, well, it depends on how much you want to replace when that cow decides to take that fence down. He said, if you got rusty old wire, he busts through and he just got one little hole. You got a patch. You got real good strong wire, he'll unstring it for a half a mile down the road as he goes through that fence. He's going to go through it. He's going to go over it. You got a bull and there's a pasture right next to you that's got a bunch of cows in heat. What do you think that bull's going to do? That's the way God made everything. It's unnatural, and our generation is making the unnatural normal. They're approving of it by law, but it's still sin, and it is unnatural. Never was meant to be, and it was back there in Paul's day. It was back in Abraham's day, but it's still sin. It says the judgment of God. Look at the last verse of the chapter. You ever thought about how big God is, what God's character is like? Well, He's very powerful. And He gets angry, the wrath of God. He's glorious. He has a glory that He ought to receive honor for. But He's also a judge. I personally think this is the main reason men do not want to serve God. Do not want to recognize God. Verse 30. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The judgment of God. God is a judge. Whether you believe it or not, the truth is you're going to be judged. You're going to stand up one day and answer for what you believe, what you teach, what you do. And you're not going to be against a judge like me who could be fooled by your face or your hair or your clothes or your good manners or whatever. You're going to be talking to the one that was with you every day of your life. has it all down, knows everything, knows the reasons why you did the thing. You can't get an excuse. I didn't mean to. God is a judge. People do not want to be judged. They do not want somebody to tell them their actions are wrong. Well, let me tell you something. Sin is a curse. And if your actions are in sin against God, you're cursing yourself. There is a certain result from sin. Amen. And it's going to come. Amen. Automatically. It's set up in nature. It's set up in the way God put things in there. Sin's going to bring a curse. Amen. We've got a God that's a judge. Go back to verse 16. The reason why this verse is so famous is because it's the gospel of Christ, and it explains it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. As powerful as all these other things are, God is still performing miracles today when He changes a life. He changed my life 55 years ago. I had people tell me, you'll get over it. Give you a couple of weeks and this emotional stuff will pass. 55 years, I'm still not over it. I got changed. Something happened. All of a sudden, the things I loved, now I hated. The things I used to hate, thought were boring, whatever, I loved. When Verlene and I have been sick this last year and staying home more than we've ever done in our life, it's very boring. I got a big flat screen, 46 inches. Boring, boring. Boring when you watch it all the time. How many times have I seen that same show, that same ad? You don't want to do anything else. You get cabin fever. I want to come out and meet with you. I want to come out and preach the gospel to somebody. I want to come out and tell somebody about Jesus. I want to come out and take a chapter out of the Bible and enjoy it. Because I got changed. I got changed. The power of God unto salvation. God's got enough power to change you. Amen. There are testimonies all across this room, right here, of how God changed their life. What you need to do is recognize just how big, how powerful, how great God is. Humble yourself before Him. Amen. And say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul and change my life. I didn't know a lot about the Bible when I got saved. I knew some. But I had heard all my life that God would accept a repentant sinner. That if I would repent of my sins and call on Jesus, He would forgive me and save me. That's all you need to know. Amen. You know that much, it can change your life right here. Forever. Religion can't do that. I want you to understand, religion is not anywhere in comparison to salvation. Religion's not the answer. Salvation is the answer. Salvation, through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood, as the one perfect man, as a sacrifice in place of all sinful men. What a wonderful thing. There's a great big God out there. I just want to let you know, if you're a little confused, you can't win. I don't care how smart you are, you're not smart enough. I don't care what kind of willpower you have, you don't have enough. You don't stand a chance against Him. Amen. The wisest thing you could ever do is humble yourself and submit. Amen. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him to save your soul and change your life. Let's stand and sing 249.